The Red Eye Radio Podcast is a service of Freightliner and Detroit.
Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
Hello and welcome. He's Gary McNamara. I'm Eric Harley as we move into a Tuesday. Gary, good morning.
Good morning. I'm just reading here from thehill.com. The Washington Post editorial board is urging President Trump and Democrats to hash out an immigration deal, even as the two sides remain far apart on the president's last deal. The editorial board on Saturday ticked through reasons Democrats should not take the deal. Trump put forward on Saturday, which included funding for a border wall and protections for certain immigrants, but argued that the Dreamers and temporary protected status recipients who would benefit from the deal should be considered first and foremost. Unquestionably, a deal would contain galling elements for both sides. That's the nature of compromise, the editorial board wrote, but a measure of statesmanship for a member of Congress now is the ability to accept some disappointments and shrug off the inevitable attacks from purists if it means rescuing the lives of thousands of deserving people living among us. Well, the thing is, too, when the Washington Post writes that the deal would contain certain galling elements for both sides, what galling elements for the Democrats? What would it contain that the Democrats have not been for just recently?
Yeah, right.
Before Trump became president.
Right.
Why would it be galling? Now, we just asked that because... we've talked about, what should the strategy of the White House be? And I think the strategy of the White House is now, let's keep offering more. I bet you this week, you may hear it today, that they offer more and more and more. And the entire point will show the entire what the editorial board did on Saturday at the Wall Street Journal, and then everybody else reporting it. I'm reading mine from thehill.com. I guarantee inside the White House, they're saying, that's a victory, because that was our goal. Now you have got the Washington Post editorial board saying, hey, guys, you should consider something here. Mm-hmm. We had asked this question a long time ago. Would Trump go that route? We asked this back in, November. Probably we've asked it before many times we probably asked it in September. We probably asked it earlier this year, whenever there was a budget deal done. What could Trump do in order to get a deal done to get the wall? What would he have to give up for it? Well, he's already given up $19.3 billion, mm-hmm, because it's down to 5.7. No longer is it going to be a concrete wall. But really what the Border Patrol wants for any certain area, and as we know, when it comes to barriers, Democrats have been in favor of barriers in the past. So I think this is what the plan is. The plan is, let's just keep offering them, because we have no other choice. We keep offering them what they will continue to refuse, and then we keep saying they are the ones that are not willing to compromise until you get somebody on the left to come out and say, hey. Hey, you guys were for the Mark Thiessen. We read his column. Mm-hmm. I think before we went on vacation or after? I can't remember. But he just said, why won't they deal? Who knows what they could get out? They could get DACA. They could get legal status for 11 million illegal immigrants. They could get a part of health care. They could get, this is the one thing Trump wants, and they could get everything else that they want possibly out of this. Why won't they negotiate? And now you have the first crack with the editorial board of the Washington Post saying that, which I believe is what the president wanted to begin, to begin with. We asked why you weren't doing this a year ago. But that's, I believe that's what their political goal was at this point. And they had to wake up, on Saturday when they saw this and just say, wow, this is good. All right, Monday we offer more. Tuesday, I'd be surprised if they didn't.
You and I were talking during the pre-show meeting about this, and where the, because I think the president offering the 3-year deferment, if you will, on enforcement on DACA as the first step. And ultimately, we don't know where he would be willing to go, but it leaves it all the way. Where could he go with that same move? He can increase that all the way to citizenship for Dreamers. So that's how much leeway he has between here and the end of something like that. He's not going to give up citizenship for, you know, millions and millions and millions, but for Dreamers, you could get away with that. The polls let you, the polls show you that you could do that without any political ramifications negatively. So where do you go? You leave that, you throw that out there, and you're offering, the president is offering the Democrats something again and again and again. And I think you're right. I think we'll see it probably, if not today, tomorrow, at some point, one or two more major steps toward a big offer. And they're going to be seen as sitting on their hands. Give them something huge. And keep in mind, at some point, just like with the Washington Post, the editorial board, you're going to start seeing the break in the media going, well, wait a minute. Wait. They've been screaming about DACA. If he gets to the point where he's offering citizenship and they can do that through a bipartisan bill and he'll sign it, that's a huge deal. And I don't see the liberal media staying quiet on that. And the first indication of that is the Washington Post.
Well, let me ask you this. Was he seriously negotiating, because he just offered the 3-year extension, and then what he was waiting for them to come back and say, no, we want a permanent extension, mm-hmm. that he didn't want to go as far as citizenship if he didn't have to.
Right.
But if they came out and said, okay, no, but we look. 3 years isn't good enough. We want permanent legal status, not citizenship, just permanent legal status in order to get that. And Trump goes, fine.
Yeah, no, I think he's willing to go there.
So we'll get to that coming up here in just a little bit. We got a great show ahead. The problem is the refs.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is the refs. I've tied it all in together. Everything is the refs. Whether it's the New Orleans game, and it was funny, I was on a plane when that game was on, and the guy was able to, sitting in front of me, and I was able to see through the seat. He had it on his tablet. I don't know how he got it.
Mm-hmm.
I think he ended up getting it because, there's a CBS.com, app you can get, that would have been on Fox. Fox and CBS, because he was watching both games. And I couldn't get it because I have DirecTV, and there wasn't any place to put it in. But he was watching it, so I did see that play, the interference play, or the non-interference play, and it was pretty bad. I mean, when you have one of the lead headlines around the country, Harry Connick Jr. will not watch the Super Bowl, that headline splashed all over America. You know it was big. But the whole problem is the refs, whether it's the NFL or the two other big stories of the weekend. Or there are actually three other stories, but the two stories that are about the media. And one is the BuzzFeed story, and the other is Nathan Phillips versus the Covington Catholic Boys. What happened in D.C. over the weekend? And I say the refs, because when you think about it, the refs in a football game are what? They're the arbiters of fairness and truth, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the media?
When their eyes are open, they are.
Right. Well, and when their eyes are open. By the way, that was one of the best, was Sandra Bullock in referee's uniform.
Mm-hmm.
With the blindfold on.
They totally bird boxed it.
The bird box referees.
Yeah.
I mean, that was great. But when you look at the media, we look at the media how? You look at how are we supposed to look at the media? The arbiters of fairness and truth.
Mm-hmm.
We want truth. And that's what referees do. Referees are the ones that say, okay, what happened on that? What are the rules? What are the rules? What happened? This is the truth. Why do they have instant replay? So you can get closer to the truth. That's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm.
What is the media supposed to do? Give you the truth. All three failed this past weekend. So I thought I was able to relate that in my mind.
I think definitely they all tie in together, especially when you look at the BuzzFeed editor going back a couple of years saying, this is how we see our journalists now, they're not journalists at all, they're activists, and also keep in mind that they were the ones that first floated the dossier. They're the ones, in fact, that's where the whole thing with Jim Acosta and the president started, before, it was during the transition period, before the president took office, and that's really where that back and forth, and they said it on that BuzzFeed post. When they put the information up there on that story, they said, yeah, we know parts of it can't be verified, and ultimately it was debunked, but they don't care. We're going to post it anyway.
You know, and you and I had mentioned this on Thursday night, Friday morning show. There were two things. We mentioned BuzzFeed's record.
Mm-hmm.
Said, look, we don't know about this. And we said, look, this is the kind of story that Democrats are going to scream impeachment because they believe at this point we can connect some dots somewhere.
Right, right.
We didn't know, well, where. And then when Mueller came out on Friday and said, nope, sorry, not true.
Have we ever had that any from the Mueller team about anything in the media so far? I remember when Comey, when he was testifying, one of the first two times he testified, and he talked about how one or two of the stories in the New York Times wasn't accurate, and that you shouldn't believe everything you read in the media, things like that. They have said that during testimony. But I mean, coming out with a statement when his investigation isn't done, that's a huge deal. That's not a small thing.
No, it's not. And look, what I got out of it, because then everybody was sort of attempting to apologize in the media, sort of attempting for that, and more the confrontation between the Covington Catholic boys and that, you know, Nathan Phillips. But it doesn't hold any water with me, any of the apologies. And the reason why is hands up, don't shoot. That story still exists today and has been completely debunked.
Mm-hmm.
It still exists today in the mindset of liberals, and it's completely false.
Mm-hmm.
The Ferguson riots happened partly because of a completely false narrative and story that went on for what? Almost a year?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Before they eventually came out and said, well, no, hands up, don't shoot, never happened.
Right. Part of the first evidence was the family-commissioned autopsy.
Yes. But when the official investigation from the Justice Department under Obama came out and said, sorry, not true. Remember the CNN anchors holding, you know,
oh, yeah,
holding up their hands.
Right, right.
Completely debunked story. False. And they jumped aboard it. If you've listened to the show for any length of time, I can't tell you how many stories people have said, you guys don't have an opinion on it. Yeah, because I don't have enough information. Not going with that unless I know what the entire story is. We've said on the air, we've been blunt with it. We don't care if we're first. We care if we're right. Mm-hmm. The other media seems to care if they're first, especially if they're first in going after the president or anybody who likes the president. The truth be damned.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I said, you know, we've today we now have male toxicity, feminist toxicity, and adult toxicity.
Well, and
we've got media toxicity.
Well, and it's based on lies and ignorance. The lies being told, often the narrative is wrong, and people jumping on it. Remember the whole clock boy thing?
Yeah.
Remember how fast that thing went on social media?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you had celebrities and everybody reaching out to Clockboy. Oops. And this has happened time and time again because people want to. I don't understand that desire to jump out in front of something and jump on something, especially when you know zero. You know nothing about it. And it happens on social media every day. All the time you'll see something. where people don't know the full story. They jump on it anyway. They don't know the truth. They jump on it anyway.
And the media is going to continue to jump on these stories.
Oh, there's no doubt.
Because
they know it gets them clicks. That's
right. They didn't learn anything by this.
No. They can say, my bad, and move on.
Right. We got a great show ahead. 866-90.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
Red Eye Radio, 866-90-RED-EYE. Welcome and good morning. By the way, TSA lines were not bad at all.
Good.
Over the weekend. Getting through Dallas was 30 seconds. A little bit longer in Tampa, but nothing of what I haven't experienced in Tampa before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All the machines were manned. All the lines were open.
Right.
So.
Oh, good.
At least where I was.
Right.
So. We'll see what happens. I saw that the number went up to 10% by the time we got to Saturday.
Right.
So from roughly 3% of people that normally call in sick to 10%. And the TSA said most of those people were having financial problems.
Right.
That apparently that's what they, when they called in sick, that's apparently what they told their supervisors. I don't know how they did that or if the agency just stating that.
Hmm.
For public relations or whatever, but that's what was reported.
Yeah. I think you're probably this week going to see more offers from the White House. It's certainly more conversation. You'll probably, the president will probably be very busy later today and again, getting the message across that, hey, I'm reaching out. I'm trying to do something here, and they're not willing to listen.
Yeah, what other way do you have to go?
Right.
You made one offer. They didn't even want to hear it.
Yep.
The Washington Post comes out and says, well, maybe you should, they're implying maybe you should listen to them.
Right.
Maybe you could make a deal.
Well, at least get to the table and ask for more. If it's not what you want, then say, great, not 3 years, permanent.
Well, but what Nancy Pelosi wants is everybody sticking together to say no deal on anything with Trump ever.
Right. Yeah.
And if that starts breaking down, that's bad for her.
Well, it's bad for her. It's bad for the party. Imagine that they make a deal and he gets part of the wall funding right now. Then in 2020, I don't know, especially if the economy is chugging along and they're talking about, there could be more deals done with China, that you could see the aluminum and steel tariffs go away. If that's the case and all that's done by this summer and the president basically is campaigning a lot on the road, I don't know what works against him as long as the economy is.
And the other thing is if the president comes out and, let's say, makes another deal and they respond again, no. And then for a week from now, he makes another deal, say legalization of all dreamers, citizenship for dreamers.
Right.
And she finally agrees. He will be viewed as the leader in that negotiation.
Yes, he will. For Cobra Electronics, here's your forecast.
A winter storm in the central Rockies and Intermountain West is making its way eastward. Throughout the day today, the effects will be snowfall for the northern tier and then rain for the southern part of the system. Most of Nebraska will see in the west snow today, and toward the east, a mixed bag of precip. As you start to get into Kansas, Oklahoma, the warm front produces rain. Now, that rain will stay out ahead of the front over the next couple days, and by Wednesday, the deep south will see heavy rain and the possibility of thunderstorms from this particular low-pressure area moving across the country. Snow for the upper Midwest, and that rain-snow line by Tuesday, Wednesday, will be right through central Indiana, central Illinois, and portions of northern Ohio. New York City will be clear in 29 today. Dallas, 63 with a chance of light rain. Chicago, 34 with a wintry mix. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio. I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
apologize for nothing. Red Eye Radio.
And he's Eric Carly. I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. Welcome and good morning. Wow. The hardest thing about today's show is figuring out where to start, so we'll just go right into it. The BuzzFeed story, you and I talked about this on Thursday night, Friday morning show, and we said, look, this is the kind of story that the Democrats, you know, have been praying for because they believe at this point now we can connect the dots to obstruction of justice.
Right.
And we said the problem with the story is BuzzFeed is not credible and hasn't been credible. And they're not credible because a ways back is when their editor actually said, and I believe, was this the dossier story?
That yeah.
They said, but when the
right.
dossier story where they right. said, well, look, it doesn't matter whether facts of it weren't verified. We view that this is our job just to get the story out, not to verify the facts. That was the point that they were making way back then.
Mm-hmm.
And we reminded people of that and said, before you jump on this, you know, understand that. Well, by the time, and the other thing that we said to look out for, because at that point that the story was, the time we were talking about it, it was 12 hours old.
Right.
And we said the other point is, because we always look for this in a story, when somebody comes out with a breaking story in Washington, D.C., that they're using sources, usually that same day, other media will start breaking what they have from their sources.
Mm-hmm.
And we had mentioned this on Friday's show. When you see, especially when it's against Trump, that nobody else mentions it, that nobody else says our sources say this too, and in addition to this and this and this and this, this is what our sources tell us, every other media outlet was quiet on it. And Eric and I said, look, those are the two things that you need to look for before you jump on a story like this, that there should be healthy skepticism of the credibility of this story until you have more media outlets coming out and verifying that we have the same story. Well, it was blown to pieces by Friday evening when Mueller came out and said, no, the story isn't true. And I think, what was it? Giuliani said he talked to them and they said
right.
the significant, is it, was it, they used
significant portion of the story
is
was false.
Right, false. Which I'm assuming is, you know, the reason they get involved, the reason that they would get involved in it
mm-hmm.
from what we can surmise is that if the story was true, that means that those investigators work for Mueller.
Right. Those sources would be could only be on that team.
Which at that point, you would have law-breaking occurring by leaking to the media.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why when we surmise, well, what's the story? Well, you know, he didn't say specifically, Mueller didn't say what wasn't true in the story. We believe that's the portion because they wanted to get out right away. That's not true, which means our people didn't leak that story.
Right. And that's something you really had to, I don't know, I can't remember a time, certainly when the Mueller team has done something like that where they've issued
no.
a statement. Pretty much everything has been sourced or has been part of, you know, the indictments that have come down. And that is a big deal, but I mean, they have to step in front of it because basically you're accusing them, somebody, at least a couple of people on his team, of leaking. And that would be something you would have to get out in front of right away.
So we can surmise a number of things.
Mm-hmm.
That, and you have to look into all possibilities, that the story is completely false and BuzzFeed just made it up.
Right.
That the source of the information that they got was not to federal investigators.
Right.
But came from somewhere else.
Right. The only place it would come from, well, I guess the first source that comes to mind is Cohen or somebody close to Cohen.
What else could it be?
Right.
Well, we have to look at all possibilities. Either Mueller is lying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, if you're looking at
okay,
all possibilities,
sure.
you got to look
sure.
at all possibilities. Mueller is lying.
Or somebody's lying to Mueller.
Or
if Mueller
right.
thought that let's say, two investigators on his team, and he said, hey, did you leak these? No, we didn't. That's false. And somebody's lying to Mueller.
Well, and unless Cohen testified to Mueller this, and so somebody on Mueller's team leaked that Cohen said that Trump was the one who put him up to it, but Mueller doesn't believe Cohen.
Right.
And so it might have been leaked by the Mueller team. We're looking at all different possibilities.
Right.
Okay, because we don't know. But Mueller said, no, we've already discounted that. That's part of his lies.
Right.
That's part of the continuing Cohen lies. And so we're not going to get into the specifics of it in public. We're just going to say that the story is false.
It's already been disproven.
And the story is false because Cohen testified that way, but Mueller and his investigation does not believe Cohen and believe that Cohen is lying because they may have other witnesses that have contradicted Cohen's testimony, and they believe them more, or they have other corroborating evidence that shows that Cohen is lying. Or it never happened at all, and BuzzFeed is making it up.
Well, here's the thing. Are the lying liars lying about the other lying liars that were lying to them, or are they lying to us now? And of the, if you look at the third set of lying liars, did those liars lie about something that the first set of lying liars said?
Indubitably. I believe we need the NFL refs in here to straighten this out. Can we get an instant replay, please?
Yes. Let's make that happen. So, because what would be, I guess, the urgency of getting out ahead of something like that from Mueller's team? He wants to protect the integrity of the investigation, obviously. Mm-hmm. So then you look at, okay, BuzzFeed, did they lie about their source? Did someone contact them claiming to be part of Mueller's team? And it was actually part of Cohen's team or somebody else. But all the credibility is gone because you have the lying liars over at BuzzFeed writing about the lying liar that is Cohen.
Was Jim Carrey involved in this?
I don't think so. He'd be telling the truth.
Well, it depends if, you know.
Before or after?
Whatever that spell was that he was under.
Yeah. So the...
And whatever spell he's under now in real life.
Yeah. But that's, I mean, that's kind of how we spelled it out Thursday night, Friday morning, saying, well, wait a minute. Cohen's a liar. So assuming for the sake of that discussion, we were, that it's coming from, you know, Mueller's team, what could that mean? Is he lying to Mueller's team now, or was he lying back then? You know, just saying, okay, this is what he has, you know, been giving to the investigators, and this is when people start on a lie. Remember, that's where it began. That whole set of lies with him, then Liar Lanny, his lawyer,
right?
You know, coming out a big deal, got a big bombshell, and then had to walk that back within a week.
So let me help you out. Then if the liar's lawyer.
Mm-hmm. Lanny the liar.
Lanny, right. If the liar's liar, lion.
If the lying liar's lawyer,
Lanny. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. If the lying liar's lawyer, Lanny, was lying about the lying liar the first time, how do we know that the lying liar isn't? Is Lanny still around? Where did Lanny go? Lanny the liar. Sounds like a children's book, doesn't it?
I see some big tiger's face. You know.
Yeah, exactly.
Lanny the liar.
Yeah, the lying lion.
The lying lion. The lying lawyer lion.
Yeah.
Ah! Man, it's a tongue twister.
But that's essentially, that's the absurdity of what we're looking at, because how would you believe a Cohen? Now, they corroborate it with other stories, right? I mean, I think it's funny because... I was reading one version of it from over the weekend, one of the latest versions from CNN. CNN could not corroborate it because BuzzFeed is standing by their article, their story. Well, of course they are.
Yeah, and
but they don't really care.
But that was the when you have as they, when they say two federal investigators and you don't have anyone,
mm-hmm.
the New York Times, and we had said this on Thursday night, Friday morning show. You don't have the New York Times, the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal. I'll throw in USA Today, all the other, MSNBC, mm-hmm. CNN. Mm-hmm. When nobody else can say, yeah, our law enforcement sources say that it's mostly right.
Mm-hmm.
When BuzzFeed is the only one, when normally you have sources that are talking to a number of publications, mm-hmm. and why would these sources only talk to BuzzFeed and not a CNN?
Right.
And not a CBS, or not a ABC, or not the Washington Post, or not MSNBC.
Mm-hmm.
Why was it that they chose BuzzFeed and nobody else could corroborate the story? That's where you have to look at it and say, well, all right. Did BuzzFeed get snookered? Did somebody who was not, were they too willing to believe it was a law enforcement source when in reality it wasn't a law enforcement source? Those are the other possibilities that we have to bring up. We're just looking at all the different possibilities of that particular story.
Well, if, you know, when going back to when the editor said this is the role of our journalists right. today and going forward, that which means you don't care to corroborate anything.
We don't care about the truth. We just care about about the story and the allegation.
You are bound to get burned.
If that's your philosophy, yes.
You're going to. It's going to happen. You're going to get burned likely when you do your homework, when you do care about the truth. Brett Baer. When Brett Baer talked about, we have information, we have sources that tell us that the indictments could be coming for Hillary Clinton. And you and I said that night, just hours after he reported that, you get burned by your sources, and that's a bad deal.
We said he better be right on this, because this tarnishes somebody who has a really good reputation. By the
right.
way, that news out late last night that Brett Baer, he's okay, but
yeah,
he and his family were in an automobile accident in Montana. Over
Very
the
serious
weekend.
Accident. Everybody is okay.
Everybody's okay.
Stephen Colbert talking about it because Brett was going to be on with Stephen on Tuesday night. They were apparently, I don't know if they were vacationing or traveling on business, but they were traveling as a family. And everybody was wearing seatbelts, and everybody is going to be okay. So Stephen Colbert was basically breaking that news to a lot of people, actually, on his show a little while ago. So thoughts and prayers for Brett and his family, speedy recovery. Mm-hmm. But that's the whole point, is that, you know, you here's somebody who has a great deal of credibility.
He's a good journalist.
He does his homework.
But you get burned on a story like that, and you have to ask. And you don't find out these things.
Right.
And by the way, I think that when you get burned by a source, mm-hmm. you should be up front and tell your listeners or the people that readers.
Yep.
I think you ought to tell them, here's how I got burned. You don't have to give names, but my source was wrong because of this,
right.
and that. But that
right.
wasn't something that was just some simple thing that was taken. This was completely false.
Right.
That Brett Baer said at that time with the indictments coming down for Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. That was completely false.
Right. And you have to be careful. Those source stories are always out there looming once you've reported them. You know, if it all comes true, that's one thing. Great. You reported something accurately. You didn't get burned. But I don't know how many times I have friends in law enforcement. One of the things they tell me is witnesses are highly unreliable. How tall was the guy? One person, 5'9". The other guy, 6'5". And it's not that they're bad people. It's just that you really have to go and do the legwork. In journalism, it's even more so.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
Red Eye Radio, 866-90-RED-EYE. This in late yesterday afternoon, Twitter suspended an account Monday afternoon that helped spread the controversial encounter between a Native American elder and a group of high school students. The account claimed to belong to a California school teacher. Its profile photo was not of a school teacher, but of a blogger based in Brazil. CNN Business found Twitter suspended the account soon after CNN Business asked about it. The account name with the username at 2020 Fight was set up in December of 2016 and appeared to be tweets of a woman named Talia living in California, teacher and advocate fighting for 2020. The Twitter bio read, since the beginning of this year, the account has tweeted an average of 130 times a day and had more than 40,000 followers. Late on Friday afternoon, the account posted a minute-long video showing the now iconic confrontation between Phillips and the high school students with the caption, Make America Great Loser, gleefully bothering a Native American protester at an Indigenous People's March. That version of the video was viewed at least 2.5 million times and was tweeted at least 14,400 times, according to CNN Business. The video shared did not show what preceded the confrontation. That put everything in context.
Exactly. Told the actual truth.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
This hour for Freightliner, run smart, helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
Keep forgetting it's Tuesday morning. We had a three-day weekend.
We did.
And Florida was really, really good. I had a wild and crazy time and picked up three low-carb recipes.
Oh, my gosh, three? You should really temper that down. Slow down. You only want to do one or two new recipes at a time. Man, has gotten into you young kids today?
It was a wild, wild time. Now, we had a really good time. I did try a chocolate coconut beer.
Well, that sounds interesting. I would have to try that if somebody presented one.
There's a place in Tarpon Springs, Florida, where they live.
Okay.
Which is a little English brewery, a very, very small storefront. You walk in, they got all the tanks there and a little bar.
Right, yeah.
Called Two Frogs. Okay. And I had a chocolate coconut beer.
Now, is this one of their own brews?
One of their own brews, yes.
Nice.
And so I walked in. And I'm like, I don't feel like beer.
Right, yeah.
And Jerry's wife, Mary, said, well, I'm going to have one of these. I said, well, what do you... I tasted it. I'm like, yeah, I can taste it's a beer, but I taste chocolate like coconut. That's what it is. Wow.
Nice.
And sipped it. I mean, you don't. It's not kind of beer. You go, oh, this is a nice cold beer, because it's sort of like a liqueur.
Okay.
But it was, It was the coolest drink. But I got to tell you this, because this is really funny. When we're sitting there driving around, and so they asked me about, I had shown them some of the video from Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of the video, the new lasers and everything else. And mm-hmm. they were quite impressed because they hadn't gone and seen them in about 8 years. And so we were driving around later on and talking about it, and I said, yeah, you know, I just forgot to tell you, I said, because they live in Tarpon Springs, Florida, and I said, I forgot to tell you that, you know, there's like a skating rink, like where Trans-Siberian was formed, the original heavy metal band, Sabotage, they mm-hmm. were formed in Tarpon Springs, Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no way, and I said, yeah, it's, let me look it up, I go, it's this skating rink, you gotta be kidding me. Hang on 30 seconds. They're right around the corner from it. Pulled right in. I took a picture of the...
So it's still there?
Yeah, it's still there.
All right.
Where all the members first met in 1979.
Wow.
And they didn't become Trans-Siberian until what? 97, 98, exactly. So, I mean, the original band was around, but that's where they, I mean, that was the origin, because if Sabotage had never been created, there would be no Trans-Siberian Orchestra.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, they were like, you mean they, I go, well, but it wasn't Trans-Siberian. I mean, it was like Trans-Siberian said, okay, let's put on this huge Christmas show with all these lasers at the roller rink. But it's a roller rink.
So. Right. Yeah.
History.
It's amazing that it's still there. My grandkids go roller skating every once in a while.
Yeah, it's like a very, very colorful outdoors. Mm-hmm. I mean, you pull up to it and it's like, wow. So I had to take a picture of it. But overall, I mean, the weather was great. Mid-70s, Friday and Saturday before it got cold like it did everywhere else. I mean, cold there has got into the 50s.
Mm.
You know, then they started getting the rain. But we had 2 out of the 3 days. And then I left Sunday, so it was no big deal. But
yeah.
But TSA, no problem. You know, I got a flight to my parents in a month. And thank goodness, you know, because January I have that 3-day weekend and, you know, it used to be go see my parents. And I was like, eh, can't do it in January. And, you know, the snowstorm hit. Might have been problems getting in.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I saw that.
Because they got about 14 inches of snow.
Wow.
But it got really cold, too.
We haven't seen any winter precipitation here in the Metroplex area.
I think I saw one snowflake.
Yeah. You know what, actually...
But then let's talk about the weather.
Yeah, right. I think there was actually some got into the Metroplex, but none of it was reaching the ground or something one morning. We just haven't had a winter at all to speak of.
Well, I know I saw this because of the cold. This is in Buffalo. They're closing elementary schools. Not the senior high school, but because it was -3 yesterday morning, they expected to be in the single digits.
Wow.
When I was young, we never closed school. Never closed school because of the cold, ever. Ever.
Yeah.
School was never closed because of the cold.
Now, in Texas, we did not have, in the schools that I went to, we didn't have air conditioning. You know, so they would open the windows. And so
when was it still the start date in August?
Usually right before Labor Day or right after Labor Day. Yeah.
Okay.
But in Texas, you're still warm until, mid-December.
Well, really into October.
Yeah.
No air. How in the world could you concentrate in that kind of
thing? It really wasn't that bad, actually. I mean, I don't remember it being that hot. I know that some of the teachers had fans, and some of the classrooms may have had ceiling fans.
I'm assuming every school is air-conditioned now.
Yeah, actually, they were moving toward that as I was making my way through high school.
Of course.
You know, I mean...
All the modern conveniences came after we were out.
Exactly. Well, and, you know, the point was is that we had these furnaces, you know, the wall furnace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And there was a fan mode on those furnaces where they could just blow air, but they didn't have air conditioning, you know, up until, you know, again, the time I got into high school. And by that time I was already, you know, moving on to, you know, I was doing a work program and I was working more than half the day. I was actually at a job site. So I wasn't, because I'd finished all my requirements, and so I moved on. And, yeah, that's about the time they started putting air conditioning in schools more and more. But we had those wall furnaces, which, of course, we rarely needed. Sometimes we did. But, you know, now, yeah. I don't, and I'd read somewhere where it was so expensive that they couldn't really, that some of the schools closed in that extreme cold because they just can't, it doesn't make sense, first of all, to get the kids there with it being so cold. But then beyond that, it doesn't make sense to, you know, run the heaters when it's not going to do much if the building isn't well insulated.
Right, right. And that's not the case up there. Everything's been, you know, has to be well insulated because it's always cold.
Right.
But, quite a storm hit there. And really, when you saw that line over the weekend, that just went all the way across the United States, and all the way through Florida too, because Saturday afternoon, Saturday night, they got hit with the rain, and it was all part of that line that went all the way from New England all the way down to almost the end of Florida. So.
Right. Yeah.
But overall, it was a great and refreshing. I got to see palm trees for a couple of days, and the Gulf Coast.
Yeah.
And the sand, even though it didn't do anything on it, just drove by. But it was still good enough. But a great weekend for news. I mean, it was one of those days where Saturday, as I'm sitting around with people, and they said, well, you know, so what do you do to prepare a show? And I said, this weekend, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to do anything.
Well, when it all fell out on Friday, you know, first of all, the president announcing and the report that came out that he was going to announce that he was going to offer up DACA for the wall, and something we had talked about Thursday night, Friday morning. Thank you, Mr. President, for listening. And the other story with bus feet. I think that was the bigger story, because I didn't expect the Democrats were going to budge just yet on the wall, especially when it turned out to be just a three-year offer. I thought, okay, that's the first. The president's putting a line in the water, and he'll probably go further than that. He might go. I think it's likely he will offer more. But the bigger story became the BuzzFeed story.
The BuzzFeed story, and then as you got into Saturday afternoon and Saturday evening, the school story, the Nathan Phillips and the Covington Catholic boys confrontation that happened. But it's really strange. I was in Florida texting Eric on Friday and Saturday, both days. I'm in Florida, and we're texting news items back and forth. Can you believe this? Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Can you believe this?
Yeah.
Can you believe? Whoa. And so it was. But still, it was. The thing was, when I'm down there, a lot of times when I'm down there, it's usually later on in the year. I normally don't go down there in January. Normally it's around summertime. So there's most of the time I'm down there, Congress isn't in session, and there just isn't much news going on, and so it's not the entire discussion everywhere. Everywhere we went, everybody, that's all they wanted to know. What's going on with this story? What's going on with this one? What's going on here? How long the shutdown's going to last? How was TSA? Wow, the president really is getting, screwed over with the BuzzFeed story, or is he? Mm. That was going on, especially early on Friday.
Right.
You know, before Mueller came out, or before a lot of people had heard that story, because I didn't hear. We were at a party and then went back and we're doing a bunch of different things and never saw that story till Saturday morning. Hmm. And when I saw the story Saturday morning, I said, this is fake news somehow. It can't be true. I mean, Mueller, I just couldn't believe that Mueller actually came out and stated, no, the story isn't true. I went, I better check this story over and over and over and over and over again, which we do anyway. But then other story came out with the school kids, and when that wasn't fact-checked properly by the major media outlets, you know, just so you know, let me find this. This is the Kyle Smith story in National Review. Nathan Phillips lied, and the media bought it. And he asked the question, if you're in a public place and someone starts heckling you, are you entitled to heckle back? How about if someone does something much worse than heckling you in a public place? What if that person, in fact, takes a drum up to you and starts banging in your face? Are you entitled to heckle back? Hmm. How about smirking? Are you allowed to smirk? I think you are, even if you're wearing a Make America Great hat again, even if you're an entitled brat, even if you're an entitled Catholic brat. The kids from Covington High School in Covington, Kentucky, were ambassadors for causes much bigger than themselves, Catholicism and the right to life. As much as such, they should have comported themselves better than to jeer and to do the tomahawk chop in front of Phillips. Mm. Ideally, the kids would have ignored him and walked away until about 10 minutes ago. It was broadly agreed in our culture that kids were allowed to do some dumb stuff because they're kids. Should the kids' lives be ruined because some of them responded to obnoxious provocation by being a bit rude themselves? I say the reaction was, if anything, more restrained than you would expect from teenagers. I advise them to do better next time. I certainly wouldn't consider expulsion. Phillips, on the other hand, as an adult, and he repeatedly lied about what happened to the Washington Post, which was utterly taken in by him and reported everything he said uncritically. It would have been revolting if Nathan Phillips had been minding his own business during a tribal chant while a gang of kids swarmed around him and started jeering. That's what many media outlets reported.
Right.
Quote, boys in Make America Great Hattigan's mob, Native Elder at Indigenous People's March, ran a New York Times headline over a story that said a throng of cheering and jeering high school boys were surrounding a Native American elder. That isn't what happened. Phillips was the aggressor in the situation. It's a curious feature of our culture that people aggressively seek to be victimized, go out of their way in hopes to getting punched in the face. But here we are. People do that because they know the media hand out condemnation based on perceived ranking of victimhood. Wow. That's a great point. But, when I watched the entire video and saw it, you could tell those kids were completely confused.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they started when the Nathan Phillips came up and was banging on his drum. The Native American chant was coming from the Native Americans first. And right. Some of the other kids picked up on it. And I think some of them thought that they were just joining them in they're coming up to us and we're just joining them in doing it. And then a couple of tomahawk chops came in.
Mm-hmm.
But it was almost at first, if you saw, they seemed to be completely confused. And if you're a kid and you're confronted by an adult, how do you react? You're confronted by an extremely aggressive adult. How do you respond?
Well, that's the question here. What were they supposed to do? Walk away? Well, they were there for a reason.
And remember, there was the black supremacist group, as Fox News has referred to them, mm-hmm. as were throwing insults at the boy or at the group there consistently, mm-hmm. and racial insults, mm-hmm. they were throwing at them for a consistent basis for a significant period of time before Nathan Phillips and his group came up to them.
Right.
So they were wondering, they were waiting for a bus. They weren't there to protest anything. They were there waiting for the bus.
Right. Well, and Phillips characterized the young men as beasts and right. the other side as prey. I wanted to make sure I stepped in front of them so they could not prey on the others. Well, that wasn't the story.
No.
That was not what was going on.
We'll get to more coming up. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Tips from J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated on DOT drug and alcohol testing, medical and recreational uses. More and more states continue to legalize marijuana, both for medicinal and recreational use. Canada also legalized the drug late last year. But if you are driving through or live in one of the places where it's legal and decide it would be okay to consume marijuana, you would be wrong. Since marijuana use remains illegal under federal law in the U.S. and the trucking industry is federally regulated, drivers are not allowed to use it for recreational or medicinal purposes, and the Americans with Disabilities Act does not require employers to accommodate an employee's use of marijuana. While the laws might differ from state to state, the policy for drivers is clear. Marijuana use violates the DOT drug and alcohol policy, no matter where you are driving. This tip was brought to you by J.J. Keller and Associates Incorporated. Visit us at jjkeller.com.
This has been the Meritor Driver Report, brought to you by Pilot Flying J, Shell Rotella, and Meritor Aftermarket. Run with the bull.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Carney, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE.
This hour for Freightliner, run smart, helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
So when you look at that overall, it wasn't a gang of people, and I know the reference was The media will look at anybody who looks like the Duke lacrosse team and then add that they have Make America Great Hat Agains, and automatically they're guilty of something. And so, you know, what you saw here was something without question. Because when you look at the people in what is referred to as a black supremacist group, they were all adults. When you look at Nathan Phillips and his Native American group, they were all adults. And they were the ones, they were the ones that invaded the space, heckled and harassed the high school students. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the one student, I can't remember his name, the one who said nothing.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote a whole thing saying, I said nothing and looked at him because I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what was going on.
Right. Yeah.
So I just looked at him, and he had a smirk on his face. It's like, well, what do you do if someone comes up and starts beating a drum in your face in public when you're waiting for a bus? Remember, they weren't part of any protest.
Right.
Outrage. Eric Harley and Gary McNamara on Red Eye Radio.
And I'm Gary. He's Eric. 866-90-RED-EYE.
This hour for Freightliner, Run Smart. Helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal. We are expanding our podcast horizon. By the way, for those that don't know, if you ever miss a show, or even if you don't miss a show and you want to listen to it twice, go to RedEyeRadioShow.com. I don't know why you would want to do that. But we do podcasts, so you can listen to the show anytime. Go to redeyeradioshow.com, and you can download the daily podcast. You know, you can get it set up where it's automatically downloaded for you. Mm-hmm. Go check it out, redeyeradioshow.com. We're adding to the family as well the Extra Mile podcast, Red Eye's Extra Mile, talking with folks from all over the trucking industry. We've got some great ones in the works right now, some really great conversations. And it has begun. You can go to redeyeradioshow.com for all of your Red Eye family of podcasts.
Yeah, we get, this is a question about the show I probably get asked more than anything. Why aren't you guys on during the day?
Yeah.
And we, you know, look, we enjoy the compliment. My response is, we are.
Yeah, we are. We're on 24/7.
We're on 24. You can
listen on demand.
Yes, you get it when you want it. And
right.
We know a lot of people. We'll get calls once in a while. People, we had one I think last week or the week before, and won't be able to listen to you guys anymore because I'm heading off third shift back onto first.
Yeah,
you can.
Yeah. Take it with you.
Hundreds of thousands of people do every single week. So
yeah, and there might be you're up during part of the show and you're not up for the rest of it. Or you wake up, you know, and it's the middle of the show and you miss the first half. So go get caught up. And it's been very successful over the years. And we want to thank everybody who does listen on a regular basis to the podcast. But you can expand on that if you're, again, not getting the entire show for whatever reason. Go check it out at redeyeradioshow.com. It's always there.
There's no reason.
Yeah.
Eric once said, you haven't said it in a couple of months.
Yeah, what?
You want people listening 5 hours a day, 5 days a week.
That's right. Well, 7 days a week.
7 days a week.
That's
you
right.
Listen to the
the recap on the weekend. You know, I mean, look, there's no excuse. How dare you not listen 5 hours a night? But really, I mean, with podcasting, that's the great thing is you can take it with you wherever you go. You can listen on your time. And our staff works really hard at it. We don't, but they do.
So. Yeah, I mean, stop watching MSNBC and turn us on 5 hours a day.
There you go. You can listen to us and turn the commentary of the game down. You can listen to us.
Yes, don't listen to Tony Romo.
No. Who wants to listen to Tony Romo?
He's getting complimented a lot.
He's doing a really great job, I hear.
And wait a minute. What's going on now?
What?
Hold it. Super Bowl 2 weeks from Sunday.
Okay.
Is it still on?
What do you mean?
Is it going to? Because I saw last week, remember they were talking about with the shutdown, the Super Bowl might not be able to be held because of the federal resources they need.
Mm.
Remember, the federal government security is all over the Super Bowl because they view that as probably the most prime terrorist target for anybody around the world of any event during the year in the United States.
Well, the Defense Department is funded, so I don't know what would, you know.
Okay.
I don't know what wouldn't be funded.
Right. I had seen that last week. Is that defense or is that part of the Department of Homeland Security?
I don't know. It could be both, actually.
Yeah.
I have a friend who is former military, but he used to be one of those fighter pilots that would, especially after 9/11. I don't know how far this went, how many years he did this after 9/11. But he would be essentially ready to go or even in the air during a major game, during a major football game.
Because I expected yesterday I was going to hear something about it, that, okay, it's a go, and there, you know, or the president would come out and say, look, the Super Bowl is going to take place.
Right.
Because there were news stories about it last week, last Wednesday and Thursday. Well, will the Super Bowl even take place? I'm assuming those stories will reappear today.
Yeah, probably.
As we start talking more about the Super Bowl.
Right.
Against the Rams and some other team. I just forgot.
I don't know. It's I don't know who it is. The Freedom Lovers or something. What is it? What are they called?
Oh!
Bobby Brady is the quarterback,
I got
think, right?
I got, there was the tweet that was out there yesterday. Mm-hmm. Trump congratulates the Rams, or the Patriots, but he didn't congratulate the Rams. That was on social media, so I had to respond. I don't normally say much on social media. I'm like, well, that's it. Impeach him.
Right, exactly. Pretty impressive that the Rams got there, huh? Think about it.
Well, except for the pass interference, which has totally tainted that game.
That didn't happen. Didn't happen.
That was fake news.
The call was fake news. Or the non-call was fake news.
I mean, that's just, that was, I saw that on the plane. The guy in front of me, I think he was rooting for New Orleans. Because he was like, and he was watching on his, like I said, on his, as we were somewhere over the South, heading back to Dallas when that happens.
And you saw the story that the odds makers in Vegas, the Patriots, are a 14-point favorite?
Yeah, but I saw the headline. Was that fake news? Now I have to ask.
Yeah, was that
time.
Before or after New Orleans game?
No, I saw the headline where they said that some bookies were giving the money back because of the non-call. I can't believe that.
Yeah, I don't know why they would do that. I'm not sure.
I'll have to check that story. That just popped. I just saw the headline and I went, eh.
I don't know. I don't know on how they build their odds, why they would calculate that in and say, okay, it wasn't right. We miscalculated basically the odds. And people base their bets on the odds. So maybe they were saying, okay, we need to recalculate the odds.
No, you can't. I mean, that's an act of refereeing. That's part of the game.
I
can't see any bookie giving money back, but any legal gambling establishment.
There was one online company, we talked about it a while back, that refunded some of the bets on something, and I have to go back and refresh my memory on that. But I think they said it was somewhere around $400,000. And they quit taking bets on something. I think it had something to do with the Super Bowl, but I'd have to go back and check that.
Let's head to your calls and comments on a number of issues. The fake news stories over the weekend, the president attempting to compromise with the Democrats, and they refuse it completely. Where might the president go on that? Kamala Harris is in.
Mm. Yes, she is. She announced, what was it, on Good Morning America?
Yeah.
Is that where she announced? Yeah. All right. So, we kind of knew that was coming.
She's bringing back the slogan from Hillary in the Clinton campaign way back in the 90s.
Yeah.
It's for the children.
Everything's for the children.
She's in for the children.
Yes.
How can you be in for the children when you are taxing our children and grandchildren, when we have found the loophole and Democrats love the loophole and plan on expanding the loophole by what Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, and others have said that they want, where you will tax the living daylights out of future generation that includes our future children. How can you care about the children? I asked this back in the 90s when this first came up. How can you care about the children and that be your slogan, that you care about the children, when you are paying for what you want now on their backs?
Well, you do care about them. You want them to be healthy so they can be productive and pay the massive amounts of taxation.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much. Okay, now we've clarified that up completely. Thank you so much. I do appreciate that. To you we go. Let's go to Howard in Burlington, Iowa. Howard, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Gentlemen, thank you for taking my call. In reference to the Covington High School students, their families, the school, and the community are paying a big price for the gross misrepresentation that the news reports have covered the incident. You do recall that years ago, there was a news crew that went out to cover the beef production in North America. And they put together a story that just wasn't exactly factual and misrepresented a lot of the industry. And it caused a lot of damage. The American Beef Producers or the American Cattlemen's Association brought a lawsuit against that news organization and won. Do you see as any recourse for these students, the school, or the community?
You know, actually, the Covington Catholic High School families apparently have a lawyer already, and they've threatened lawsuits against the media unless they retract the false stories. What specifically they want retracted, you know, I don't know specifically what they want retracted, but one of the points that's been brought up is you think about the damage that has been done to the reputation of that school and the reputation of those students that have been put on film and the reputation of, will they be able to get a job? Yeah, a lawyer can remember, these are not public figures. They weren't even out protesting. That wasn't their point. If they were out protesting, then a lawyer could probably make the case. Well, look, they were in they sought public attention. They were in the public eye. So what happens happens.
Right.
You can't find probably a greater example of private citizens when it comes, to these students. They're minors, from what we know, because they go to high school. They're minors. They apparently had a adult chaperone with them as they were walking, but they were waiting for a bus. That's what they weren't there to protest. And so when it comes to slander or libel, there is a much lower standard that you have to meet. But they're on camera, and I don't have it here at the moment, but the one young man that's smirking. His face was on camera for how long? How many millions of people saw that? How many millions of people now know his name? This could directly affect his ability to get into a college or get a job.
Right.
Because of a completely false story. So, yes, who they will go after, I don't know.
Well, and specifically, what would they get out of the media? What are they asking for? A retraction is going to have to be worded. If you're getting lawyers involved, it's going to have to be worded very specifically.
Los Angeles-based trial lawyer Robert Barnes offered to represent the Covington families for free should they decide to sue the New York Times. He said, I will represent the kids for free if they want to sue Maggie Haberman of the New York Times for obvious libel. And she tweeted out, and that's the whole point. If you were tweeting these things out, that's, by the way, that's news. If you're a journalist, you're tweeting these things out, they can be brought back against you.
Yes.
There are dozens of students laughing and egging on the behavior. It will be interesting to see whether anybody is actually expelled, as officials suggest is possible. Now, that's not her reporting what's going on. That's her an opinion as to what's going on and what should happen to the students. And she had the story wrong.
Right.
She didn't have the truth, and she was talking about the punishment that these students deserved. Well, these students are private citizens. They're not seeking out the limelight. Eric and I, for example, you could say things about us, and it's a different standard because we have sought out the public spotlight because we do this as a living. They did not.
Nick Sandman is the
Nick Sandman, yes.
Right.
Thank you very
the
much.
The student.
Thank you.
And he's in that shot pretty much the whole time. I mean, he's
yes.
He's the it's he and Nathan Phillips that are the center of that.
And he wrote that long letter, so mm-hmm. everybody in the nation now knows who he is.
Right.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio. I'm Gary McNamara along with Eric Harley.
This hour for Freightliner, Run Smart, helping you run more efficiently is Freightliner's number one goal.
Yeah, so I don't know what some of the families and who knows, they may get lawyers individually or as a group or for the school, but to say that they have been damaged. You know, we talk about when the New York Times wrote that completely false editorial about Sarah Palin when it came to the shooting years after it happened, the shooting of the congresswoman. And we just said we believe that there's no way that they didn't know that they were lying because everybody in the media, who's anybody in the media, knew of that story. And the judge let him off saying, well, they apologize. No right. matter what, they apologize. So yeah. it's okay. And Sarah Palin is a public figure. Not the case with these kids.
Right.
That's the difference. They weren't looking for any type of public recognition. They were waiting for a bus.
And that's where it began, except when you delete the facts. When you lie by omission, like the media does in this case, and didn't do their homework, that would be the first thing I would think. Because just if I was suspicious of the teens, of the students, I would think, well, they must have done something else too. I'm going to go out and I'm going to learn what they did leading up right. to this point. You would look to find the entire truth. The truth doesn't matter.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio. Gary McNamara and Eric Harley talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or you're just starting your day, welcome to the show. This is Red Eye Radio.
All across America, 866-90-RED-EYE. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Thanks so much for being here this morning. What are we into, day 32 of the shutdown, is it?
Yeah, getting close. Yeah, right.
And we asked, where does the president go? We talked about the Washington Post editorial earlier.
Yep.
Talking about the opportunity that may be here for Democrats.
Well, I mean, if the president had offered, you know, full citizenship for Dreamers, and to essentially dismiss the appeal process of the of DACA, it's still in the courts, which he would have to do through the Justice Department, which would be interesting. But you could actually dismiss the suit by coming up with a law, with a bill introduced, passed by Congress, and then signed into law by the president. The lawsuit would then be a moot point. So it would die off naturally. Then you, the president offering 3 years, of course, that was the first step. I believe he'll offer something more. And even if he didn't, the Democrats could go to the table and say, no, we want more. Not just 3 years, we want permanent legal status for Dreamers. And I think the president would take it, especially if he got 5.7. I'm wondering if he would take it, because this is where you and I left off on the Friday morning show. I wonder if he would take it if he got $3 billion. Now, he's still asking for 5.7. And he's offering 3 years of basically extending no deportation enforcement of Dreamers for at least 3 years.
Well, at Wall Street Journal, and we mentioned the Washington Post, Wall Street Journal is more blunt. Do Democrats want a deal to reopen the government and offer new security for more than a million immigrants? Or do they want to use them as pawns against Mr. Trump? On the evidence so far, the answer is the latter. Mr. Trump's offer of extended legal status for young adults brought to the U.S. illegally as children, as well as to Central Americans and others with expiring visas, would provide relief against a deportation for hundreds of thousands. Isn't this something that Democrats want, or at least profess to? Democrats have sent a million press releases claiming to care about the Dreamers, the Haitians, those fleeing violence in El Salvador, Guatemala, and Nicaragua. If it's true, Mr. Trump has held out this offer before, only to renege, but here's a new chance to get Mr. Trump's signature on a legislative fix, at least for some years, without relying on the courts or executive orders. Well, our point was, when Trump came out with it, was there a counteroffer? No, we want this. No, they don't. They don't want to give Trump anything. They hate Trump more than they care, or they claim to care, about illegal immigrants or DACA. If you can't help them, if they can't get you to help them in an election today by voting illegally or getting illegal immigrants to be citizens over the age of 18 now, they don't care about you. They only care about you if they can use you.
Yeah.
By the way, that is what the Trump administration should be saying.
Yep. And I again, he's the only one offering even a talk here. Remember, he closed the last meeting down pretty quickly. There was nothing else to discuss if the answer was no.
Well, this is why, again, what you do is you negotiate in public then. Mm-hmm. You don't negotiate in private.
And you
keep bringing up, we're willing to go this far. Make a compromise. Tell me. And by the way, they did say that. Tell me what you want. I'm willing to work with you.
Right.
White House was, tell me what you want. Give me the counteroffer. What would it take to get here? No, we don't even want to talk to you. We don't want to talk to you about anything. Open the government first before we negotiate anything. Well, no, because you won't negotiate anything. You're lying when you say that.
Well, and
you're
the more the president offers, because if there's a non-response here, because the idea is that, and this is why you had the editorial board of the Washington Post basically saying, you know, you have a start. You have a table that is set. It's pretty clear, and anybody that knows this president and knows anything about negotiating, president offered something very specific. 3 year extension of non-enforcement of Dreamers in terms of deportation. Well, knowing full well they could come back and ask for more, which is exactly what they should be doing, but they want nothing to do with it.
Well, and the Wall Street Journal's point, well, you know, he's backed off before. Yeah, but if he backs off this time, he loses.
He's already put it out there.
Right. He's put it out there in public. You want a deal? I'm ready to agree to this deal. He pulls it out now. Well, then the Democrats will say he really doesn't want a deal.
Right.
So the whole point is, there is every incentive for Trump to do this. Now, even if Trump doesn't get anything, I believe he should continue doing it. Okay, I'm going to hold another press conference again today. Here we go. Here's what we're offering the Democrats. We offered this. We've offered this. They refused it before they even heard it. They didn't. They didn't counteroffer. I'm ready to see what they're willing to do in a counteroffer.
Right.
And if they do, you keep doing this for the next couple of weeks until you eventually have to open up the government. But the fact is, you make it. Trump had a win with the Washington Post editorial. That was the win right there, because there was a crack. It was that Trump won when Steny Hoyer last week came out and stated that no, building a wall is not immoral, where he disagreed with the Speaker of the House. Number two disagreed with number one in the House.
Yeah.
And then when he came out against skater Bob O'Rourke's, it's a racist solution to a racist problem, where he disagreed also with that. And that's what you want to start doing. You want to start hitting those cracks in Congress, and you want to do it now. And honestly, I thought he should have done it quicker. I thought on Sunday he should have been out there again. I thought yesterday he should have been out there again. This is something that you hit every single day. It's the one thing that matters. It's the shutdown. I mean, when I saw his tweet where he was whining about the presses and giving him credit for all that he's accomplished with North Korea, I said, stop getting off the point.
Yeah.
And stop that, because you haven't accomplished anything with North Korea yet. There's been zero accomplished. So stop saying that the media needs to credit you for what you've done with North Korea. Stick to what you're winning at.
Well, and I think the president has a potential win here, especially if he offers something more this week. There is a potential here, especially. Now, this isn't exactly the editorial board of the Washington Post being on the president's side, but they're opening this whole thing. They're
right.
They're definitely
right.
Not saying there can be no money, regardless of what he offers for the wall. They're saying get to the table.
They're saying see what you can get.
Right.
Before you say no, see what's out there.
Right.
And the Democrats are saying no because they believe that anything that Trump wants, they cannot give in to. Why? Because they still believe Nancy Pelosi, and this is where we get back to what we originally said. Nancy Pelosi believes that the open borders portion of the party controls her party. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they'd be negotiating. You want more evidence? We've had a few people try to debate us and say the Democrats aren't for open borders. Well, then negotiate on something.
Right.
Be willing to negotiate on something. And when they're willing to negotiate on nothing, it's because if Trump wants anything that has to do with securing the border, we don't care what it is, we are not going to agree to it.
If he gets to the point of publicly offering citizenship, I think even permanent legal status for Dreamers. I have no idea where the Democrats go with that, because if they say no, especially when it's offered up knowing that it would be a bill that he would be signing into law.
Well, if he said legal citizenship, I guess the next thing would be, okay, we'll counteroffer with citizenship for DACA.
Yeah, you mean legal status and then counteroffer with citizenship?
You know what I said?
Yeah, you said legal citizenship.
Oh, no, I meant legal status and then offer.
Right,
yes.
Right.
It'd be the same thing, wouldn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, offer legal status and then
right.
The counteroffer would be citizenship. That's probably if... I'm assuming that's what Trump was trying to do. I'll give him a 3-year extension, and then
right.
If they want, if they come back with me with citizenship, we'll compromise on legal status.
Right.
That's what I was thinking.
And that's exactly what I was thinking, too, because 3 years is a very small number in this whole grand, you know, a picture of all of it. It's a very small number, and of course you're going to offer something little. But what have you done? You've opened the door. Door's open. Go in and ask for more. Because if you're at the point, if we're at this point now, and it's likely going to, I think it's going to wrap up fairly quickly over the next week to 10 days, because we're getting to another pay period that federal workers are going to miss. So I think you're probably going to see that back and forth, likely heading into the weekend, some kind of, if he's offered more, if he's offered permanent legal status, at that point, I don't see how the liberal media doesn't jump all over that and basically call the Democrats out, which is kind of what they're doing here right now, the editorial board at the Washington Post. I see that as fairly significant. It's not, again, it's not the editorial board saying, do not give him one dime regardless of what he offers. No. It's go and see what you can get.
Right.
Look, we know their game. Their game is 2020. Their game is not January 2019.
Well, and if you don't believe they're ever going to agree with you, then keep offering it, because the whole point is to damage them politically,
right,
in this whole thing.
That, and then you look at the, and while it may be a small group, relatively speaking, there's been a lot of focus on Dreamers and DACA.
Yeah.
So the media's given that a lot of energy in the last couple of years.
Yeah. You're willing to do what Obama couldn't get done.
Right.
You're willing to complete Obama's mission.
Yep.
And the Democrats are saying no, and that's what you would promote.
Right.
But here's the problem for Democrats politically. If he comes out and offers it again, let's say he does it today and offers them, and they say no, and then they think about it, they come back, well, maybe we will agree, but we want this and this and this, and then Trump says, okay, but fine, then I want this too.
Mm-hmm.
And then they finally come to an agreement. Who comes out looking the best in this if they get an agreement?
He does.
Trump.
He wins.
Now, that's the problem now. Now I think part of the thought process is, well, wait a minute, we should have agreed to something earlier then, because if we wait, then Trump is viewed as the great negotiator, and that's the last thing that the Democrat leadership wants, is it's Trump. It was Trump that was willing to negotiate. It was the great negotiator negotiating and getting partly what he wants and partly what they want, but in all likelihood what the majority of Americans are closer to, and that's what a great negotiator does.
And even if he doesn't get it, even if he doesn't get it, if he's offering more, if he keeps offering more, and they keep saying no, sitting on their hands,
he can use that.
That's negative for
them. He can use it in 2020. I offered to fix the DACA problem. The Democrats refused.
Yep.
Your party, Mr. Biden, refused. See, I'm assuming it's going to be Biden and him debating.
Well, think about that. You either give him gold on the debate stage, or you give him a win now and you put it behind you.
Early on. And then you work for illegal immigrants.
Right.
If you're the
and you claim that, well, he wouldn't have gotten it done if we didn't agree to it, and we got more than he originally wanted to get done, and you make all these false claims, but you get it behind you.
866-90-RED-EYE.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara. Let's go to Bill in Lincoln, Nebraska. Bill, welcome. You're on Red Eye Radio. Welcome to the show. Hi.
Hi, Eric and Gary. Thanks for taking my call. First off, this is Bill in Lincoln. I'm a Democrat, and I want to tell you guys, you have nailed it right on the head. Years ago, Barack Obama supported border security. Chuck Schumer did. I don't remember a speech from Nancy, but the point is, 10 years ago, if Barack Obama had asked for a wall, it would have been funded and it would have been built. Now, I am surprised. I thought when the Republicans got in there that it would get funded and built these first couple of years. It didn't. But we're at where we're at. And here's the whole point. I believe President Trump has put out a very, very good offer here, at least where you can negotiate.
Right.
It's not perfect. I personally believe both things. I believe in border security and building the wall, and I believe that these people that grew up here in this country, it's no fault of theirs, that they should have legal status and have a pathway to citizenship. So that's what the Democrats should be negotiating with them, and they're not doing it. They talk about it for all the time, how, you know, this is terrible, you can't do this with DACA, and now you got a chance to help them, and you're not going to do it. The only reason they're fighting this is for one reason, and that is that Donald Trump told his supporters he was going to build a wall. He didn't say border security. He said he was going to build a wall. And they'll be damned if they're going to allow that to happen.
And you're a Democrat, right? You're a Democrat?
Yes, just, okay. I am.
Just want to make sure.
I absolutely
just
am.
Want people to know that. So,
yes, I am.
Yeah. We thank you so much for your call. And I think that's probably what the White House has realized. You know, this is a path they can go down. And look, the polls have showed that Americans want illegal immigration to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Americans are concerned even about the amount of legal immigration in this country. But the majority of Americans, if you say legal status for the people that are here, but it stops, and I mean more than the DACA people. I'm just telling you what the polls have said in the past.
Mm-hmm.
If you say we have tough border security, we don't allow this to happen again, but those in this country for a long period of time or were born here because of no fault of themselves, we should give them legal status. The DACA, kids, people are willing to give them a path to citizenship. Legalization, permanent legal status without voting rights, the polls I've seen show more than half of America would agree with that, but a lot more would agree with it, landslide levels, if you got to the point of saying, but much tougher border security.
For OmniTrax, here's your forecast.
A winter storm in the central Rockies and Intermountain West is making its way eastward. Throughout the day today, the effects will be snowfall for the northern tier and then rain for the southern part of the system. Most of Nebraska will see in the west snow today, and toward the east, a mixed bag of precip. As you start to get into Kansas, Oklahoma, the warm front produces rain. Now, that rain will stay out ahead of the front over the next couple days, and by Wednesday, the deep south will see heavy rain and the possibility of thunderstorms from this particular low-pressure area moving across the country. Snow for the upper Midwest, and that rain-snow line by Tuesday, Wednesday will be right through central Indiana, central Illinois, and portions of northern Ohio. New York City will be clear in 29 today, Dallas 63 with a chance of light rain, Chicago 34 with a wintry mix. Your national forecast from Red Eye Radio, I'm meteorologist John Trout.
Thanks so much, John. 866-90-RED-EYE.
Those not on Ambien, there's Red Eye Radio.
And it's Red Eye Radio. He's Eric Curley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. So I'm getting the feeling that Lady Wawa, excuse me, Lady Wawa and Alyssa Milano are really now what is becoming the representatives of the elite, the Hollywood elite. The liberal Hollywood elite.
Right, yeah.
Because they seem to, more than anybody on social media, get the, you know, from Hollywood, well, at least Gaga is, Milano, I don't know, I guess she was in some shows in the last couple of years.
I don't know, I don't watch a lot of primetime TV, so, you know, I remember her from Who's the Boss, and what was the, I almost said Bewitched, what was the one, Charmed.
Charmed, yes. Yeah. I guess she's in some. I think didn't we?
Is she in something now?
I think she is. I think we did, or she something very, very, very recent. Now I don't count the Hollywood elite. Henry Connick Jr. saying he's going to boycott the Super Bowl. Because
Harry or Henry?
Harry. Okay. What did I say?
You said Henry. You said Henry.
Harry.
Yeah,
Harry,
his
Harry.
Brother Henry isn't very active.
Yeah,
socially,
Harry. So. Harry Connick Jr. supporting the Super Bowl boycott, saying that the refs screwed my Saints. So
yeah.
I don't consider that part of it, but Lady Wawa going after Mike Pence.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't need that kind of Christian, but this is the new move, essentially, that you look to, and we said this years ago that with many of the activists out there, it was really about getting into the religion itself and tearing down the principles of Christianity. So that way that you could essentially at some point label the churches as bigoted, their teachings as bigoted. And my, you know, my question is how far, I know what their tactics, you and I follow, you know, their tactical approach, of course,
right,
for a living. My question is, how far into the rank and file base are they actually getting their message heard? I mean, well, at what point do they get pushback, I guess, from the rank and file Democrats?
Well, it'll be interesting, especially when you talk, you know, we've talked about Catholicism and the attack on, you know, that I believe will be the attack on any Supreme Court justice that Trump brings in. If they're Christian in any way, if they're Catholic, for example, they're going to go after them. We know Kamala Harris and Macy Hirono have already gone after one judge, saying because he is a Catholic and then therefore belongs to the Knights of Columbus, that makes him unqualified to be a federal judge, and I believe that's where they're going. I also think, you know, Lady Gaga saying that, because I read the headline. Lady Gaga says Mike Pence is the, quote, worst representation of what it means to be Christian, end of quote. And my next thought was, because he is a Christian. Of course he's the worst representation of what it means to be a Christian, because he's a Christian.
Well,
that's what it comes down to. I mean, he believes what a Christian believes. Mm-hmm. Now, just because you're a Christian and you disagree with people's behavior does not mean you don't love them.
Right.
Otherwise, we'd hate everyone in our family.
Mm-hmm. Well,
because we disagree with their behavior.
Well, we're all sinners.
We disagree with behavior all the time, and we're all sinners.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, depending on your morality, be it based on religion or culture, I can sit there and you can look and say that you have many people on the left believe that if you wear a Make America Great hat again, that you're a sinner, that you're an evil person if you do that. So everybody has their own morality, and everybody has their own, you know, their own judgment on people's behavior that they believe is wrong. And, you know, you got one side sitting on their high horse, you know, well, again, you got Lady Wawa, you know, talking about the fact that, you know, women aren't accepted in the music business, and crying because it's so tough to advance in the music business as a woman. But anybody knows it's tough for anybody to advance in the music business, because only one in probably a million people who attempt to get to her level are marginalized at some point, or people don't believe in them.
Mm-hmm.
Because the majority don't make it. Why? Because believing in you means we got to put up money to back you, and we don't believe in you that much. Happens every day. And there isn't any record executive in the country that won't look at a woman that they believe can make them millions of dollars that will say, nah, we don't want you to do your thing. She said that women aren't taken seriously. Well, you went to the record companies and said, hi, my name is Gaga.
Mm-hmm. You can start with a name.
And they still backed you so you could be worth $300 million. So,
well, she's got, stop. How much critical acclaim has she received over the years?
Tons of it. Tons of it. And still she's a victim. So, again, worst representation means to be a Christian. Well, by how you define a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
What you're saying is, I get to define what you are. No, you don't.
No, you don't.
Because he's a worst representation of what it means to be a Christian. Why? Because he's a Christian. That's why.
And they don't need a reason to expand on it. You know, all they have to do is start labeling Christianity itself as bigoted. If you quote the Bible, it's hate speech. And how long has that been going on? Several years, but it's ramped up in recent years. Chip and Joanna Gaines. How dare you go to a church where the preacher preaches from the Bible?
Right.
Look, you don't have to watch their show. You don't have to vote for Pence. But this is the attack to make sure this is the foot in the door to tearing down the church itself, Christianity itself.
And I'm sorry, but Alyssa Milano has become the Ocasio-Cortez of Hollywood.
Mm.
She's just completely clueless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
she's easy to tear apart.
We've always talked about the absolutes. When you go to the total absolute, by the way, we saw that with what was going on with those students and that whole story over the weekend. How many people on social media jumping on, going to the absolute on those students because of the hats they were wearing? That's what that came down to.
Assuming they were guilty.
Right.
Look, we saw it with the Duke lacrosse team.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're white males
mm-hmm.
who give a certain look
mm-hmm.
when you look at them, and that look shows you the privilege and what they believe they can get away with. All lies.
Right.
We saw it with Ferguson. Hands up, don't shoot. We saw a police officer whose life was being threatened, whose life that he knew it at the time was destroyed by a lie that was perpetuated for over a year.
You know, the media didn't actually feel the burn on that one.
For a long time. That kept going for a while.
This weekend, I think, was something a little bit different. You combine the BuzzFeed with the story of the Nathan Phillips and those students. And those are two huge burns. You flat out got it wrong. And it was proven very quickly. When you have Robert Mueller coming out and calling BuzzFeed out officially, it was through his spokesperson. But when that happens, I'm sorry, but you've lost. This is because, and I think it's important to remember and repeat that the BuzzFeed thing and Jim Acosta, remember when CNN jumped on that bogus BuzzFeed story
mm-hmm.
early on during the transition period in 2016? And it was on the dossier. That was the back and forth between Acosta and the president. That's where all that began. And they didn't care. They don't care to admit when they're wrong. It's funny because, you know, I read one CNN version of the BuzzFeed from this weekend, and CNN saying now, well, we cannot corroborate what BuzzFeed is claiming. Yeah, because Mueller himself said through the spokesperson that it was inaccurate, that it was wrong. Well, see, they can't even bring themselves to say, we got it wrong. It was, well, BuzzFeed sticking with their story, which is one thing, but then we cannot corroborate that. That may seem like a big deal, but that is not a news organization. I'm talking about a global news organization and CNN coming out and saying, hey, BuzzFeed got it wrong. Now, Jeffrey Toobin did over
yes,
the weekend.
Yes, he did. I saw that.
It was Friday night. He said, This is a really big deal when Jeffrey Toobin says it.
I got to find the audio.
Yeah.
I'll find the audio for that.
And he says,
thanks for reminding me.
Flat out got it wrong.
Yeah.
And good for him. That this is I think he said this is a bad day for the media.
Yeah, because I thought we covered it in a fair way. We covered all angles. We mm-hmm. said, look, BuzzFeed came out with this, but look, BuzzFeed, you can't believe them alone.
Right.
There has to be other media outlets that come and verify, corroborate what they're saying, and that hadn't happened. And by the time we were on, it was over at least 12 hours old, and we're we're not hearing anything from any other media except BuzzFeed. And I said, that's a problem because their editor has already said that we will print stories where the information is not verified. Because that's what we're about.
Right.
That's what we are. And we said, so they have admitted they're not about the truth, but they're about political activism. And that happened a way back. Since they said that's our policy, you cannot view anything that comes out of BuzzFeed as truthful unless you can get cooperation from other media, a variety of other media that you can piece together a story and therefore find it at least partly credible or credible.
Right.
And it's just, look, and it's not, I have no biases against BuzzFeed. I'm simply telling you the truth of what they have said their journalistic policy is, which deviates from normal journalism.
Well, this is what that's the point that we have made, and I'm glad you said that. There really is no bias. In fact, it's quite the opposite. I am confident that the people in the newsroom at the New York Times, Washington Post, and at BuzzFeed, they're not stupid people.
No.
But they behave as activists. If you want to be an opinionated, and they want to do nothing but opinions on their website, in their newspaper, or anything else, fine, label it as such. But what the world really needs is journalists. And I don't care who the truth hurts. Find the truth.
866-90-RED-EYE.
We'll be right back with more Red Eye Radio with Eric Harley and Gary McNamara.
It's Red Eye Radio. He is Eric Harley, and I'm Gary McNamara, 866-90-RED-EYE. I have the short audio cut from Jeffrey Toobin. Was this Friday or was it Saturday?
I think that was Friday.
Looks like Friday, okay.
Yeah.
After the special counsel's office, you know, came out and said, sorry, BuzzFeed story, not true. Here's what he had to say.
I just think this is a bad day for us. And you know, Ryan, you seem to disagree a little bit. But I just think, you know, it reinforces every bad stereotype about the news media.
Stereotype?
Right.
Stereotype?
Yeah.
Really? Stereotype?
Well,
or truth?
Well, how many times have they gotten burned? Just look at the Trump-Russia investigation thing itself. How many stories? Well, we mentioned Liar Lanning. Remember, everything has been, this is it. This is the gotcha moment. The Cohen thing last week was...
Same thing. Here's the gotcha moment. We got him.
Here's the gotcha on obstruction. Here we go. We got something now. This has teeth. Oops. When Mueller comes out... This is how bad it's gotten. Is that Mueller's office felt compelled to set the record straight. Now, BuzzFeed is staying with it. We believe our story is accurate. We've reached out to Mueller and his team to find out which part of our report that he believed was inaccurate, or he's saying it was inaccurate, but we're sticking by it.
As we said, I wasn't surprised because I believe we mentioned it Thursday night, Friday morning. Not sure, but I believe we mentioned it because I know it was in our heads. Whether we mentioned it on the air, I just can't remember.
Right.
But one of the things I first thought of was, well, wait a minute. If this story is true, the two federal investigators have to in some way work for Mueller.
Yes.
So what you're doing is saying that Mueller is leaking to the media in order to get after Trump. And so that would be the scenario. And that's all of a sudden, boom, there was Mueller coming out and saying, sorry, this story is untrue.
Right.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.